Last week we studied in Genesis about the creation and what God took care of in the first 6 days. But have you ever often wondered, or do you ever think about where you came from? Where you going? And why we're even here? Can be a lot of answers to that, but studying His Word, we know why we're here. Because He did create humans in His own likeness, and we're here to fulfill a role on earth just like He was doing while He and Jesus was here on earth. But today we're talking about not totally, but creating or being made in His image, or man formed in His image. Now, when you think about forming something, if you think about a potter, they use a spindle and a wad of clay, and they spin it, and with their hands they form it into an object. Well, we know from last week, and we'll study and we'll see some today, that God created human, He created man and woman, but He created us in His own likeness. And we talked a little last week about, well, why didn't He create us differently? If God is supreme, then why should we be like Him? And we know the reason why. It's because His love for us is what He wants us to take over all these years and take and share to the whole world. So we exemplify Him in our likeness. But human beings, are we accidents? No. We, as we said, or I just said, we're creatures made in the image of God, and we're just as much a part of the beautiful design that He created in His time then as it is today. We're here to enjoy it. One of my favorite verses, and there's a few verses we can look at and share from this, is in Psalms 139. And I've often told people in groups, if you ever get down, you ever have any doubts about why you're here or problems you're having, this is a good verse of Scripture to read. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but Psalms 39, verses 13 through 16, it tells us, it says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Now, if you ever question life, the last few words there, our names were placed in the book and our days were numbered, but they're written in the book. They were there before we were ever created. He knows everything about us. But when we left off last week, God creating man and woman in His image, but today we see, and we're going to talk about the Garden of Eden. What does that bring to mind when you think about that? Adam and Eve.
Must have been a beautiful place.
A beautiful place.
You know what? Heaven is so beautiful too.
Mm-hmm.
According to the scriptures.
What scriptures tell us. But.
But I often wonder. I often think about I know for myself, when I used to sew and I made something in it, I thought it turned out real beautiful. How proud I was. Can you imagine how proud God was when he made it, formed this earth? And I was thinking about that last night when he formed it, formed us, made us in his image. How proud he was.
But along with the proudness, did he have any sadness? Because we'll find, I mean, not today, but in future, maybe next week, we know he created everything but the Garden of Eden, which should be a beautiful, peaceful place, and he placed Adam and Eve there, but they did what he instructed them not to do. We'll talk a little bit about that today. But writer has a little story, so to speak, if you can call it a story, is I've lost it. There's three men building a building, working with bricks, and somebody comes up to him and asks him, well, what are you doing? One says, well, I'm earning a living. And the second one says, well, I'm laying bricks. And the third one responded, I'm building a cathedral for people to come and worship God. Now, if you take those answers and put them into your life, why did God place us here? Well, he did give us wisdom, knowledge to earn a living. He did give us wisdom how to do things. But the last thing is, we're here, we're his building blocks for his cathedral. Each of us has a purpose in his creation and spreading his word here on earth. Now, if we look in verses, it's chapter 2, starting at verse 4. It says, this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground that the Lord had formed. Then the Lord formed man from dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Why do you think God let it be that if he's created everything and he had this beautiful place, why weren't the trees and the flowers and everything already there in preparation for man to come? Ever thought about that? I hadn't. But it tells us he knew that the ground would have to be worked, so there was going to have to be somebody to do the work, and that's when man was created. It talks about breathing the breath of life into Adam's nostrils. If you take it back to where he created all the animals, did he breathe the breath of life into them? He created them. Because, in essence, God took a special interest and a special purpose when he breathed into Adam's nostrils to create him. There again, like we've said before, it's a part of God, it's a part of his image, and he's given it to people.
And that's like in childbirth, the baby's alive in you, the mother, and we're attached. But the biggest, you know, one of the biggest things in childbirth is when it breathes on its own.
The first time.
The first breath that it takes away from
the mother.
You mm-hmm. know, that's a major concern because then it's here. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's on its own. I hate to say that, but it's on its own. So it's kind of like when he created man and formed him and then gave him the breath, then he was on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's always been amazing to me how God, when he created us in his image, he made some very smart people and some that come on down the line, because, you know, if everybody was smart, they'd be creating something. There wouldn't be nothing left.
But
just
it's like
teachers and things in the church, I mean, the ministers and all.
And it's like you said, your parable, he teaches us to make a living. He makes people real smart to invent it, but then he gives people the ability to form it.
To form it and use it.
So it's all kind of, he gives us all kind of different abilities, like the gifts that talks about the Old Testament.
But not only did he do that, I mean, he did create mankind, let's say, in his image, male and female. We talked about that last week. He gave man and woman dominion over the whole earth. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this again. We'll say it again. Man and woman were created in the image of God, but humanity was the final act of creation. So if you think about it, I mean, have you ever thought, well, why didn't he create man and woman first and then bring the animals and trees and everything else to life? He created a place, a special place for everyone, and then created us in his own image for us to have dominion there. So the writer kind of asks a question, if you ever feel insignificant, you know, I just don't fit here, think about it. Everybody in this room is here on earth for a reason, and a special reason. And we give all the glory and the honor and the thanks to God for doing that. Now, verse 8 and 9 tells us, he says, now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kind of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why, again, do you question, why were there these two special trees? Why were they set apart from everything else?
When he was there for Noah, he knew what was going to happen. I mean, you know, he already knew. But the same way in our lives, he knows what's going to happen to us, but we don't. We don't know the day or the time or, mm-hmm. you know, your last day. We don't know, but he is ever knowing. So he knew when he formed up the man and the woman and then the trees, he knew what was coming, just like he knows what's coming in our lives.
Well, I think he wanted to give us, he gave us a free will. Mm-hmm. So he was letting us prove our loyalty or let us have a choice.
Choice.
Mm-hmm. What we wanted to do. So we have a free will. So like in our lesson, it was said to demonstrate his loyalty to God, the man needed to have a real choice.
Mm-hmm.
And he does that now. Mm-hmm. We have a choice. We make a choice to be I hate to say to be a Christian, but we make the choice for him to be Lord of our life.
Yeah.
I mean, and not everybody makes that choice. And we make a lot of mistakes along the way, but by him being Lord of our life, he helps us through the bad choices.
Mm-hmm. And this is a question, and it, I mean, it's not a silly question, but is it special to have a place to call home? I mean, you think about it. If you didn't have any place to go when you left here today, where would you go? What would you do?
I don't see how people sit down or anything like that if they don't believe in Him. I don't.
You know, that's why all the homeless people, there's a lot of homeless people, and we are so blessed.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I believe, I think, one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible is John 3:16. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite Bible.
Because in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, it says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." I mean, that scripture alone you could use as a tool when you're witnessing to somebody. Your earthly home may not be what you want, but the heavenly home that's promised you is there, and He's waiting for you.
I think the first thing a new Christian needs to do when they become a new Christian is read the book of John.
And study it.
Read the book of John.
Mm-hmm. There's, I'm sure more than that, but
yeah.
But just words.
John, this is so practical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just your everyday. It's just a practical book that if you
right.
take it to heart, everything he says is true in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Verses 15 through 17 tells us. It says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat it, you will surely die.'" Okay, it's like Glenda said, he knew. And like Susan said, he knew, mankind's going to test me. But I'm placing you there. But like you said, he gave him a choice. I'm going to put it out in front of you. And he knew, probably just like the rest of us, there's probably been times in our lives when there was something we thought about and we knew it wasn't probably the right thing to do, but we're going to try it. Mm-hmm. We either did it and disobeyed him, and you either feel bad about it and you repent, or you either get in trouble with the law or your parents. But those are things that you learn from life. Now, did God do that not to trick Adam, but did God do that, and did he place Adam in the Garden of Eden, and were the consequences going to be that man... This is going to be your punishment for sin, is you're going to have to work the earth the rest of your life. I don't think it's a punishment. It's like Susan said a minute ago, we're all given an ability to do something. And we have to be productive while you're here on earth. You have to work to make a living. That, again, is part of his plan for creation. You have to develop things. You have to work to have things.
You know, when farming was such a big industry, I guess, because I know it's small, but you read and hear people, or you would hear, read and, or hear people talk about how much they love the land. Just the feel, the touch, the just the land. And so he was trying to teach them about loving where he placed them and being satisfied, I think. And but he gave them a choice too, and they just kind of messed up.
I think it comes down to the nitty gritty, showing who's boss.
I'm in charge. There's only one person in charge.
That's right.
Have you ever questioned or wondered why, if God made this beautiful place, why would you want to work it? It's there. You created it. Just take care of it yourself. You know, you made it beautiful. Why do I have to do anything to enhance it? You did it all. But if you use that train of thought, then who would have been given the ability to build the house you live in? Or these chairs we sit in? Farmers to grow our food, crops. People make the clothes we got on. There's everything is encompassed in the whole thing. So also telling Adam about those two trees is there again that showing his authority to tell us what is right and what is wrong. Did he put that into life for a reason? I know we've asked and talked before, but what do you think life would be here to, unlike on Earth today, if everybody was the same, and we all had the same personalities, and we all thought the same thing?
It'd be boring.
And would we like chaos? And would we like each other?
Well, do we like each other because we're different? Okay. But
it's
did.
Like you said, though, the choices, his authority, I mean, we're in a simple thing for authority, and we don't always do this, is a red light.
Mm-hmm.
Red means stop, green means go. And I know they have the in between, but it's kind of like him. It's the good and the evil. Good or evil, and you make your choice. And with him, there's not a gray area. We either love him totally and completely and strive to live like that, or we're the you know, the bottom one, the green one. We just are wide open doing our own thing.
I found out if you're a Christian, and I know every one of those things you probably make a little mistakes every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that conscience, it kind of jump starts us every time we do a little something wrong. You know, people that are not Christian, they don't worry about what's going to happen. Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't care about the consequences either.
Well, they don't care about the consequences, but I mean, I do something wrong, I get this little knocking, you know.
Because I know we've heard this scripture, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, how do you develop or find the balance between caring for the earth and developing it for future mankind? Do you think it's a chore, just like I have to do? You have to cut grass every once in a while. Otherwise, you're going to be covered in weeds. You mentioned the farmers earlier. What if we didn't have them? Where would our food source come from? Now, it might come from another country, but there are people and places in every crack and nook of the country that are doing things to carry on mankind. I mean, do you, like it says, do you get caught up in that, that I'm not going to worry about it? You know, I really don't care if this guy over here who's got 1,000 acres and he's planting cotton, I don't care if his cotton comes up this year. Well, if it doesn't, what happens? He loses. Mm-hmm. It falls down the line.
Well, plus we've all been places, vacation, that you like, this is like heaven on earth. You know,
it's
just one, it's solid and it's green or the beach or something. And a lot of that has to do with the people that has kept it up all these years and done all these years. And I mean, that's just something we say because this is no means like what heaven's going to be like. But in our eyes, we think if we can go to a place that's even half as what it is, like sitting on the beach and watching the sunset, you know, this is heaven on earth, then it makes you want to take care of what you have, because when you do get there, it'll just be something that we never dreamed of.
Is work a blessing?
Mm-hmm. I think it gives you a sense of accomplishment. You know, you might not want to do it, but after you get done with it, you feel good about it. I mean, motivated.
I don't want my neighbors talking about it. I've been talking about one of my neighbors.
But then the last verse in the study today is verse 18. It says, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now, I'll stand here and say, was the female to be a helper?
I want to work. My Bible says
work side by side.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think one complements the other.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You need one for one and one for the other.
But if you go back to Genesis 1, he created male and female in his image. He created Adam. He breathed the breath of life into him. He saw he needed a helper. And we know the story. He took one of Adam's ribs. He created Eve to be Adam's helpmate. And I never thought about this, and I don't know. Have you ever thought that by doing that, God brought Eve to Adam, that he presided over the very first marriage in creation? And it was between one man and one woman. So out of today's lesson, how do relationships enrich your life?
They make you what?
I mean,
you learn how to have unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
You learn because nobody is perfect, and you love somebody just unconditionally. You just love them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, God creating man and woman to multiply the earth. Did he say, or did I never? Do you never find it that he created them? He created marriage. Were they just to be stuck together the rest of their life and not associate with anybody? That's where relationships are formed. Friendships. I mean, your church family. You come here. You know, you may not see anybody else until next Sunday. But you have the knowledge, or I'll say the understanding, that if I need somebody, I can call you. I can talk to you. That's, you know, God's world. He wants us loving like he was. I mean, you think about the creation and everything. It is mind-boggling. But you often wonder where and why did sin come in to create evil and make some people not want to be a part of his life. I know maybe a short time of my life, but you don't have to answer, but you think about your life. Was there ever a time in your life when you backed away from the church and you didn't go and you got away from the Word of God? And how does that life compare with the life you have when you're involved in the church? Do you miss, like Susan tells people, you know, if you miss a Sunday, do you feel like you've missed something that day, today, that could help you go through next week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We told Paige, when Paige went away to college, you know, when you go away to school, you're on your own. And she didn't church to start off with. And I kept telling her, I said, Paige, if you just go to church and hear one thing, that one thing might carry you the whole week when you're not having a good day. And that's the same thing with us, you know. And that's like loving. I mean, us have children, and, you know, they're two different personalities. We have, you know, children with two different personalities, and I tell them, and this is the way the Lord is to us. I love them the same. I love one just as much as I do the other. But I love them differently because they're different children. And that's the way the Lord does us. He loves us all the same, but he loves us all different because he made us all different. So he loves us in different ways. But when we get to heaven, we're going to see he's loved us just the same amount. We're all equal in the love. It's just he loved and showed his love in different ways because we're different.
All right, Miss Betty. Through. Words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.